Today's shir is Masechet Bava Daf Peches. We will begin on Daf Peches from an Aleph at the fourth line. Hachayv ba'ever kanani shel chayrim chayif. We learned in the Mishnah what is the din of somebody injures an ever kanani. So everybody agrees that nezek tzariku and shevus are paid. We had a machlokes regarding boishes. Chum hold that boishes is paid. Rabbi Yehuda says ein lavodim boishes. Ask the Gemara, my time, the Yehuda. What is the basis of Yehuda's psak? Amakrov, because the pasuk that teaches us the obligation to pay boishes says, "Can you not anoshim yachtov ish v'ochiv v'mishi yesh le'achva?" Where does boishes apply? Strictly by individual, where achva is. We'll explain this in a moment. Yotze eved she'en le'achva. What pshat achva? Rashi says that he's part of Klal Yisrael. Somebody who, an Ever Kanani, is not allowed to marry a Jewish woman. Jewish woman is not allowed to marry an Ever Kanani. He's not part of Klal Yisrael, and therefore, the din of boishes doesn't apply by him. And as the Pnei Yeshua explains what Rashi says, Pnei Yeshua says that the fact that an Ever Kanani cannot enter into Klal Yisrael certainly indicates that he's not on the same level of the rest of Klal Yisrael. Another pshat the Rishonim suggest is that we know that an Ever Kanani, we're going to discuss this more as we get deeper into the Shir in Mitzvah Hashem, an Ever Kanani doesn't have Yichus. His biological brother, halachically, is not his brother. So we see that he's sort of like a Behema. Behema also doesn't have a brother. So that, again, proves that he's not part of Klal Yisrael. Rabbanan who say that there is a boishes payment by an Evid, hold, achafu b'mitzvahs. He's considered like everybody else because an Ever Kanani we know is mechuyu b'mitzvahs. Ask the Gemara, Elamat Rabbi Yehuda. If Rabbi Yehuda has now said that an Ever Kanani is not considered achiv, then the halacha ought to be, ask the Gemara, that zomim eved lo yaharoigu. If the Edom zomim come and say that an Ever Kanani killed someone, and then it turns out that they're Edom Zomim, as we have learned and will learn in Mitzvah Hashem, that the halacha is that the Edom, Vasisim Loi Kasha Zomim Las Slachiv, what they want that should happen to the defendant should happen to them. So ask the Gemara, the halacha ought to be that Edis, the din of Edom Zomim should not apply by an Ever Kanani, if somebody's testifying regarding an Ever Kanani, and as Tosus points out, if that indeed will be the case, that there is no Edom Zomim regarding Ever Kanani, then an Ever Kanani will never be able to be put on trial. Because we know that an Edus Shiyata Yochel Azima, if the Edus is not able to be Muslim, then it's not a kosher Edus. So Gemara's question is, if so, Ever Kanani should never be able to be put on trial. Why? Because the pasuk says vasisim loy kash zomim lasas lochiv. The pasuk uses the word achiv, and Rabbi Yehuda says that eved kananim are excluded from the pasuk of achiv. Answers the Gemara: Amr Rava, Amr Rav Sheshes, Amr Kra. The pasuk says v'yata rami kabecha become makan. V'yata rami kabecha comes to say that if you have a situation of edim zomimin, even though they're testifying regarding an eved kanani, we want to eradicate such people, and therefore Edom Zomim applies. And as the Mefarshim explained the Gemara, what the Gemara means to say is, they explain, that when the Torah uses the words Achiv, normally an Ever Kanani is excluded, because he's not Achiv. Here, where the Torah went out of its way to add the three words of Yarta, Rami Kabecha, what the Torah meant to say is that this is an exception, and Ever Kanani should be included. Ask the Gemara, if the Rabbanan hold that Eved is included in the category of Achiv, El Me'atl Rabbanan Eved Yekosh L'Malchus, why can't the Ever Kanani be a Melech? The Pasuk says, Soim Tosim Melech Melech Mikarif Achecha. He's one of our brothers. Ask the Gemara, Amri. Says the Gemara, before you ask a question on the Rabbanan, why don't you ask a different Kasha? L'tamech Tik Shleger. Everybody agrees that a ger is a full-fledged Jew. Yet the halacha is that if a woman was Megayer, and after she was Megayer, she conceived and had a child, that child, whose mother is a Geyoris, cannot be a Melech. The Farshim ask, is that only L'chatchila, B'dievet? But certainly he should not be appointed as a king. Why? Ela Makra, because the Pasuk uses the words, Mikerev Achecha, which comes to teach us, Mimufchash Achecha. So there's a special din regarding Malchus, that only somebody of a perfect Yichus could be a Melech. And Evakanani and Ger aren't. And we can't use Malchus as a raya. Machloikis Rashi and Tosfos, who is considered a person of adequate yichus to be appointed as a melech? Rashi holds, as long as his mother is a full-fledged Jew, even though that the father is a ger, he could be a melech. Tosfos holds, no, you have to have both parents. But there's an interesting, the Paiskim also make an interesting point. They say that when is there a halacha, as we're saying now, that somebody to be appointed a melech has to be of perfect lineage? It's only when we're taking an individual and appointing him as a melech. However, let's say somebody just succeeding his father, he's a memalei mokum, there the yichus doesn't apply. And we actually have a precedent for that. Rechavam, who was the son of Shlomo Melech, and his successor, his mother was a minus, a geyrus. It wasn't an issue that she's a geyrus, because he wasn't being appointed from new. He was just being memalei mokum, he was succeeding his father. El Mata asked the Gemara, if we're going to follow this line of reasoning, yeah, the kosher like this, and have a Kanani should be kosher to be an aid. The Ksiv, Vahine aid Sheker, Ho aid Sheker on a Ba'achiv, and according to Rabbanon, and have a Kanani is in the category of Achiv. Answers the Gemara, Amu'ula, Eidus Leimotus Amrit. We can't suggest that Eved Kanani should be kosher for Eidus. Because Asya Eidus Vakavachoyma Me'isha. Because we're going to learn a kavachoymer from an isha. Or my isha, she rule of a kail. If you have a regular Jewish woman, so she's certainly a member of Klal Yisrael, still, psula la'edis, evid, she'enu roi love a kail. As we learned in Masechta Kedushin, we're not supposed to marry an evid kanani. And then, she posul la'edis. Ask the Gemara, ma li'isha, you can't bring a raya from an isha to an evid kanani, because an isha, she can't enter Ruya Lamila. Nisha is not a candidate for Bris Mila. Time be Evid she Ruya Lamila. And therefore, perhaps, the Evid Kanani should be kosher to be an aid, even though a woman is not. So Tysus asked the obvious question. Throughout Shas, there's a very famous Xerah Shava of Lala, that we learn the din of an Evid Kanani from the din by a woman. That whatever is the din by a woman is the din by Evid Kanani, because we learn Xerah Shava Lala. So Tosfos asks, what is an Al Gemara? Just bring that, not Xer Shava. And say, just like a woman is disqualified, so too is an Evet disqualified, learned the Xer Shava. So Tosfos answers that the only time we use that Xer Shava is to create chumras. That Evet Kanani, we would think perhaps is not Mechuyiv b'mitzvahs, is not obligated to do mitzvahs. I learned Xer Shava, just like a woman is Mechuyiv, so too is an Evet. But to create kulis, that the Evet postulates, that we don't. One teretz. Rabbeinu Peretz, Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz, gives a different teretz, very similar. He says that the purpose of the Gzeirah Shavah between Avodim Kananim and women is only regarding mitzvahs. Which mitzvahs is an Evet Kanani obligated to do? Which mitzvahs is he not obligated to do? But here we're not talking about mitzvahs. Here we're talking about Eidus. So it's no right. We can't use the Gzeirah Shavah. Another teretz that I saw is that the Gzeirah Shavah of law is really not between an Evet Kanani and a woman. It's really between a Shifcha Kananis and a woman. But that Gzeirah Shavah is then expanded that it doesn't only apply to Shifcha Kananis, it even applies to an Evet Kanani. But first we need the Gzeirah Shavah of Shifcha Kananis. Now when we're talking about Eidus, a Shifcha Kananis doesn't come into question that she's possible. So you can't use this Gzeirah Shavah to teach the halacha of Evet Kanani. And another teretz, the last teretz that we'll quote, is as follows. We know that Avdus is different than everything, Eidus, I mean, is different than everything else. Eidus comes with its own set of principles. What's the proof that we always cite? Moshe Rabbeinu, together with Aaron, the greatest leaders we ever had, cannot come together to say Eidus. Moshe Rabbeinu can't say Eidus on Aaron. Aaron can say Eidus on Moshe Rabbeinu. Is there a question that we don't trust Moshe Rabbeinu? That we don't trust Aaron? Of course we trust them. But Eidus has specific rules. And we can't use the typical methodology of learning to Eidus from other areas of Halacha. So Gemara said, you can't bring a raya from an Isha to an Eved, because an Isha is not a candidate for Mila. So Taisus says, what does it mean that she's not a candidate for Mila? Taisus, first pshat, and the pshat that he remains with, is because a woman doesn't have a bris Mila, and an Eved has a bris Mila. Although there's an obvious difficulty with that pshat. Because an Isha doesn't have a bris Mila because she can't have a bris Mila. So why is that a raya? So Taisus attempts to say pshat, but he himself says it's not the right pshat. That not only is a woman not obligated to have a bris Mila, but the Gemara we learned, the Masechta Kedushin says, that a mother is not obligated to make a bris Mila for her son. An Eved is obligated. But that's incorrect because we're going to talk about a cotton, and a cotton also doesn't have the obligation. So I saw a nice pshat in the Shittim Kubetzes. And Reb Chaim Brisker says a nice explanation to that pshat. He says that not only is a woman exempt from bris Mila, but she doesn't even have to have her toughest on bris. So we see she's totally excluded. An Eved has to have a bris. What does that mean? So the way Reb Chaim explains it, at least this is the way I understand Reb Chaim, is as follows. There are two aspects to every bris Mila. One aspect of the bris Mila is to remove the Arla, and the other aspect of the bris Mila is to bring this individual into the bris, into the covenant of Klal Yisrael. So obviously a woman doesn't have the issue of having the Arla removed. She doesn't have any Arla. It's no different than a child born already gemalit. But now we have another element to the bris Mila. Bringing this person into the bris. How is that done? If you can't do a bris, you do our toughest on bris. A woman, we don't do our toughest on bris. So we see that she's completely excluded from this whole issue of Mila. She doesn't even have to have a toughest on bris. Even that element, which should be applicable by her, she's excluded from. An Eved does have that element. So that's why maybe an Eved, asked the Gemara, would be kosher for Eidus, even though a woman is not. Says the Gemara, cotton yechiyach. We'll bring a rye from a cotton. She yeshna l'mila. A cotton, we do have to make a bris mila. Apostle Eidus. And the Mepharshim say, another bechiddush in this line. A cotton is 8 days old. So cotton is not the mila. Pashup Shal, we would say, who has the mitzvah mila? The father. The child is 8 days old. But what does the Gemara say? The cotton is mekayim a mitzvah. And what the Gemara is teaching us is that when the father makes a bris for his son, when he's a small infant, 8 days old, he's helping his son be mekayim a mitzvah, even though he's only 8 days old. So that's what the Gemara says. We should bring a raya from a cotton, that he is in the parish of Mila, and yet he's pasul eidus. So it says you can't bring a raya from a cotton to an eved. Mal a cotton, shayna be mitzvahs. A cotton is not obligated to do any mitzvah. Toimer be eved shub mitzvahs. So that will bring a raya, says the Gemara, isha of tachiyach. An isha is mechuyu be mitzvahs, yet she can't say eidus. She yeshna be mitzvahs, and still psul eidus. And this is how a tzad shava always works. The chazar adein, loy rizek rizek, v'loy rizek rizek. Eved is not exactly similar to an isha. Eved is not exactly similar to a cotton. What is the hatzara shav behen? But what is the common denominator? She'en kenen b'chola mitzvahs. Then not all the mitzvahs are applicable to them. And therefore, psulim lahoyed, afani obis eved. So we will extrapolate that so too should be the din by an eved kanani. She'en b'chola mitzvahs. An eved kanani is potter. For mitzvah sasasha's magroma, like a woman is, and therefore pasul ahayit. Ask the Gemara, malat sadashav ben, if we look at these two, the woman and the cotton, shekene in a bish. They're not a male. Taimer be evid. However, an evid, knani, shuish, maybe he is kashal edis. Ella, and he is an adult male, says Gemara, ella tastes from a gazlan. We'll bring a rye from a gazlan. Just like a gazlan. Is posleidus, so to an Eved. Ask the Gemara, how could you bring a raya from a gazlan to an Eved? Mal Gazlon Shagay Masav Garmala. He acted improperly. He stole. And that's why he becomes disqualified to say Avis. Time of the Evid, Shay Masav Garmala. You can't bring a ride from an Evid, from a Gazlon to an Evid. Evid didn't do anything wrong. Says the Gemara, El Taisi, Migazlon Omahad Mechanach. We learn it with a Tzadashava, a Gazlon and a Cotton, or a Gazlon and an Isha, that apostle Eidus, so too will an Evid be apostle Eidus. Says the Gemara, a different approach on how to learn that an Evid is apostle Eidus. Says the Gemara, Ma Berei, the Ravina Amma, Amma Kra, the Pasuk says, Lo Yumsa Uvois Abonim. Lo Yumsa Api Uvois She'en Lachayis Bonim. A person who doesn't have his children considered halachically his children, which is an Evid, as we quoted the Gemara Masech the Kedushin, is Lo Yumsu, is not qualified to say testimony regarding a case. Dis Akadatach, if you will assume that that's not what the Pasuk means, but Kedemrinan, as the Gemara Masech the Sanhedrin says the Pasuk is teaching us, that the Pasuk is teaching us Lo Yumsu Oves Abonim Be'edus Bonim, that the Torah is teaching us that a son cannot testify in a case that involves his father, if that's all the Pasuk is teaching us, Lichtav Rachmana Lo Yumsu Ovois Albanehim. My Bonim, why does the Torah use the word Bonim? Shmamino, the Yumsu Api Ovois Shelem Chayes Bonim. That the Torah is teaching us two rules. One is the simple rule, that a son cannot testify in a case where his father is involved. And furthermore, a person whose children are not halachically considered his children, an Eved, cannot say testimony ever. Ask the Gemara, let's continue learning the Pasuk. Alam Ata, Ubonim, Lo Yumsa Lavois, Hachanami, Lo Yumsa Pibonim, Shelem Chayes Ovis. So how will we explain this part of the Pasuk? That a person whose father is not halachically considered his father cannot say testimony. Who is such a person? A ger. A ger, we know, gershin is gayer, kikotin shenoy ladami, and a ger halachically is not considered the child of his parent. So it says of the Gemara, according to our way of explaining the Pasuk, it should be, el ger, hachanami, the Pasuk, is the Torah teaching us that somebody's a ger, he's disqualified to be an aid? Amri, hachi hashta. You can't compare the cases. Ger, ned em lechayis lamala. His father is not considered his father. Lamata, however, his children, yesh lechayis, are considered his children. Lafuki evid, whereas an evid, dein lechayis loy lamala, v'loy lamata. Neither his father nor his children are considered halachically related to him. For says the Gemara, this akadaitach, if you're going to argue, says the Gemara, and say, the ger posulaitis, licht of rachmana, lo yumsa ovais abaneim, lichram rinan, lo yumsa be'edis bonim, v'nicht of rachmana, bonim lo yumsa ovais, the shamit minatarti, which would teach us, chodo lo yumsa bonim be'edis ovais, that a father can't say testimony regarding his son, but furthermore, v'dach lo yumsa api bonim, she'el chayis ovais, and then we'll say that an individual who his biological father is not considered halachically his father, also is not considered qualified to say Eidus. And then I won't have to teach the din of an Eved, because Eved nafkalei b'kav ha'chomer. An Eved Kanani will certainly be disqualified, because we'll say, if the ger is disqualified, and a mar ger, that l'malahu dein l'yichas, that his father is not considered his father, av l'mata yesh l'yichas, his children are considered his children, still, as posuladis evid sheilachayis, that neither loyla malav loyla mata, neither his father nor his children are halachically considered his relatives. And din she posuladis. So why do I need a pasuk to teach me the din of an evid if the pasuk already says that a ger is posul? Says the Gemara, elo midakos rachmona. If the Torah had to go out of its way to say lo yumsa ovois abonim, the mashma. Lo yumsa pi ovis she'en lechayis bonim, that you can't use an aid, someone whose children are not halachically considered his children, an evid, If the Torah had to go out of the way to teach us the din of an Eved Kanani regarding Eidus, it comes to say that specifically an Eved Kanani who has these deficiencies, the greater deficiency in Yichus, not up and not down, not to his parents as he related halachically, nor to his children as he related halachically. Shema mino, that the pasuk is teaching us that specifically Eved, Shein lo chayis, lo yilamala v'lo yilamata, who the pasuk leidus? Avla ger, kivin the yesh lo chayis lamata, although his parents are halachically not considered his parents, lamata, kivin the yesh lamata, since his children are considered his children, kosh leidus. So now what the Gemara is saying, to say it in one sentence, is since we find that the pasuk that we're speaking about had to mention that Avodim Kananim Apostle Eidus, it comes to teach us that specifically the Avodim Kananim that have the double Yichus deficiency Apostle, whereas a Ger who only has a single Yichus deficiency will not be Apostle. But ask the Gemara, the Chitayma, if that's what the pasuk is coming to teach us, Ubonim Lo Yumsa La Voice of Lomeli, the Kos, Ubonim Lo Yumsa La Viseim, Lomeli, the Kosrachmana, Bonim Lo Yumsa La Ovis. Why does the Torah use words, Bonim Lo Yumsa Ovis? The Mashma, Lo Yumsa Alpi Bonim, Shalom Chayas Ovis. But the Gemara's question is that the wording of the Pasik is misleading. Because the second part of the Pasik is, Ubonim Lo Yumsu Alavei Sehem. Ubonim Lo Yumsu Alavis. So the Gemara's question is as follows. If we're saying now that a ger can't say Eidus, and the words Ubonim Lo Yumsu Alavei Sehem only, Ubonim Lo Yumsu Alavis is only coming to teach us that a father is disqualified to say Eidus in a case involving a son, then the Torah should have used the words of Bonim Lo Yumsu Alavei Sehem. Isn't the fact that the Torah uses the words of Bonim Lo Yumsu Alavei an indication that the Torah is not only teaching us that a father cannot say testimony regarding the son, but the Pasuk is also teaching us that someone whose father is not considered his father halachically, meaning a ger, cannot say testimony? So isn't the wording of the Pasuk, even though we have difficulty, isn't the wording of the Pasuk clearly an indication that a ger should be possible for Eidus? Answers the Gemara. You're right, says the Gemara. If we really looked at the words, Obanim lo yumsal avos, it seems to indicate that a ger is possible. But then we have a question, so why do we need to talk about an Eved Kanani? So what must we say? That only an Eved Kanani is possible, not a ger. Then we have a question, why does the Torah use these wording? This wording answers the Gemara. I did the kos rachmana lo yumsa avos abanim. Since the first part of the pasuk used specifically the words lo yumsa avos abanim, and why did the Torah specifically use those words? Because the Torah wanted to teach us that a ger, that Eved Kanani is possible, and that's why the Torah used the words lo yumsa avos abanim versus using the words, as we learned earlier, lo yumsa avos abneiim. So in the safe of the pasuk, kasam nami, to remain consistent in its style of wording, it says Ubonim Lo Yumsu Alavos. What really should the Torah have used? What words? The Torah should have really used the words Ubonim Lo Yumsu Alaveseihem, which would clearly teach us that all the Torah is teaching us in this second part of the pasuk is that a father cannot say testimony regarding a son. But the Torah didn't use those words. The Torah preferred to use Ubonim Lo Yumsu Alavos, which actually ends up misleading us somewhat, because it comes, it gets us to think that maybe a ger kanani is possible, but the reason the Torah did this is because the Torah wanted to remain consistent in its style of writing. Says the Gemara, Ima de Rav Shmuel bar Abba, Mir Gruyona, having a sivalei l'Rav Abba. The mother of Rav Shmuel bar Abba, and the way most Rishonim explained the Gemara, was a second marriage. So she had assets going into the second marriage. And since she had assets going into the second marriage, we know, and we're going to be discussing this a lot over the next couple of shiurim, a woman going into a marriage could bring two types of properties. There's nechse melug and nechse tzoyim barzel. Nechse melug means that they're really hers. They remain hers. But as long as they're married, the assets will, the profit or the payris go to the husband. Nechsei Tzoyim Barzel is that the value remains hers. They're assessed at the time of marriage. And that value is what she's entitled to when the marriage terminates, whether through death or divorce. That's why it's called Tzoyim Barzel. It's the strongest barzel as iron. But the actual asset really becomes the husband's. She just has to get the value. So here, and this happens nowadays too, they're having a second marriage. Halachically, all of her assets, all of her nechsi malug, the husband will get the peiros. And moreover, if she predeceases him, he will be her yoirish. But she wanted the child, the son, Reshmur Bar Abba, whom she had from a previous marriage, to be the yoirish of these assets versus her second husband. So what she did was, she wrote over her assets to the, wrote over these nechsi malug to her son Rav Shmuel. Bas the shchiva, after she passed away, also Rav Shmuel bar Abba, kamei Rav Yimri bar Abba, he came with a document that his mother had written, and uchse ben nechsei, and he went to Beis Din, and Beis Din says correct, they confirmed what the document said, that these assets become his. Other of Abba, so the second husband of Abba, Amar l'milsa kamei Rav Oishia, went and repeated what happened here to Rav Oishia, and Other of Oishia, Amar kamei Rav Yehuda, Rav Oishia went and said this over to Rav Yehuda, Amarei and Rav Yehuda, and they said, Hachi Amar Shmuel, Ha'isha Shemachra b'nichsi malug b'chayi bala, if a woman sold off the nichsi malug while her husband's alive, Umesa, and then she predeceases her husband. So the sale was never a valid sale. And therefore, Hamal Moitz Miyad Lekuchas. Because he's the Yairish, and she had no right to sell those properties. Amru, Kamrei de Rav Yirmi Ba'aba. So now they come back to Rav Yirmi Ba'aba. And they tell him, Rav Oishia is disagreeing with you. Rav Oishia says that the document is invalid. Amaluhu. So Rabbi Yehuda says, I know what it says in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Hakosev nechosev lebnoi lachemoisei. Here too, the way the Rishonim explained the situation, is a father has property. The father has property, and he's Baruch Hashem still alive, but he wants that when he passes away, this property should not be divided amongst all of his sons. This piece of property should go to one son. But on the other hand, he doesn't want that that should happen until he dies. Because he wants to eat the peiros, the fruit of this property, as long as he is alive. So he writes over that this property should become his son's lachamaisai. That as long as he's alive, the payers are his. Afterwards, they become the sons. So the halach is, habein eni yochel limkor, the son cannot sell this property, because it's not his yet. The father's still leading the payers. Name shem reshus av. On the other hand, the av eni yochel limkor, the father can't sell the property, because they're already written over to the son. Name shem suvin lebet. The Rishonim debate, if this document is written not as explicitly as the document that the Gemara describes, where he wrote that Paris, the father writes, the Paris remain mine as long as I'm alive, and then it becomes completely yours, how do we view the document? Some Rishonim say that even if the document doesn't say it, it's anyway understood to mean that. Some say unless the document is explicit, we can't define it that way. However, Macharaf, if the father didn't follow the instructions, Mokhraaf, he sells the property. The loch is Mechurim Atshiyomis. They're considered sold until he dies. And the Rishonim explain why. Of course he could sell it. He didn't die yet. He owns the Paris. So Rishonim say that the son we would think that perhaps the son could protest. Why could the son protest? Because the son could say, I don't agree to the sale, because I'm eventually going to be the owner of this property. And by you selling the property to someone else, he may ruin the property, that by the time the property is supposed to come to me, it'll be ruined. Teaches us the halacha is that if the father sold it, it's valid. Mocha ben, on the other hand, if the son sold it, the din is, the person who purchased it from the son has no rights to the property, Achiyomus Hoav, because until then the parents belong to the father. Kimayasav. However, what does the Mishnah clearly teach us? That when the father dies, Islakeach, the sale kicks in. Now, it seems from that Mishnah that din would apply that Afgav the Mesa ben Bechayav, even if the son died before the father. So it's not like the property came to the son and then to the father. It never came to the son, because by the time the father died, the son was no longer here. Still, I've got the meis haben, b'chaya av, the loy oshla day haben. The son never really got close to this property. The halach is that the sale is a valid sale. Why? Because as Rav Shimon ben Lakish explains that Mishnah, Doma, he says that the sale that the son did with this property that was written to him is a valid sale, and it becomes the property of the lokeach, and it makes no difference, says Rish Lakish. It makes no difference if the son predeceased his father, so he never was even a Yorish. And or if the father predeceases the son, well, there certainly we could understand the halacha easier. In both cases, the sale is considered a valid sale, and after the father dies, it becomes the property of the individual who bought it from the son. Ditmar, as we know, this is really the subject of a machloikis of Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish, where it says, Mocha ben b'chayav, exactly this case, where the father wrote the property to the son, but he wrote that it should only become completely his after the father passes away. And the son, while the father was still alive, and certainly he was still alive, went and sold his property to a customer. And then the son dies before the father. Ditmar, Mocher ben b'chayav, the piece of property that was written to him that should only become his after the father dies, that the son went and sold. And then, Meis HaBen B'chayav, the son predeceased the father. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Lo Kana L'Keach. It's not considered that the kinyan was a kinyan, because it never came to the son. Rish Lakish Amar Kana L'Keach, that it does become his. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Lo Kana L'Keach. Why? Amalach, Kik Tani Masnisen. Even though we quoted the Mishnah from Masechta Yevamos that said, Mocher HaBen Lo Kana L'Keach, that if the son sold it to a customer, it becomes the customer's. It does not become the customer's as long as the father's alive. However, the kimayasav, once the father passes away, isla lekeach, says Rabbi Yochanan, we have to qualify that Mishnah. That Mishnah is speaking specifically in a situation, where the son did not predecease his father. And therefore, the father dies, it becomes the son, the son's, and now the kinyan that the son made while he was alive will be a valid kinyan. Dosle de aben, avo, says Rabbi Yochanan, in a case where meis haben b'chayav, the son dies before the father passed away, where the osle de ben, where it never became his, because when the father died, he's already not here, ki meis av, if the son, the father dies away, less lelekeach. That sale will be invalid. Machlokes Rishonim, to whom will it go? Will it go to the Yorshim of the son? That's the Pashup Pshat. Or some say it can't go to the Yorshim of the son. The son clearly sold it. So to give it to his Yorshim just doesn't make sense. So they say it goes to the other Yorshim, or the Rishonim say, of the father. What is the basis of the of Rabbi Yochanan's ruling? Says the Gemara. Al Makasavar. Obviously, Rabbi Yochanan is of the opinion the kinyan peres kinyan aguftami. Since the father, as we have been saying, still retains the right to the peres of the field, he is considered the true owner of the field. And therefore the sale that the son conducts while the father is alive is a meaningless sale. The kikas oven, lavdi days oven. Rishim ben Lakish Amar, Rishim ben Lakish, on the other hand, holds, Kana lekeach. Under all circumstances, if the son sold it, and it makes no difference if the son dies before the father dies before the son, once the father dies, it will go to the lekeach. Because, kiktari masnisa, when the Mishnah, Masechta Yevamos, said, Melchar ben, ein lo lekeach ad shiyom sa'av, that if the son sells it as long as the father is alive, vera lekeach has no rights in it. Kimayis av. However, once the father dies, mia isle lekeach, then it does become the lekeach's. That halacha applies loishno loy meis haben b'chayav, where the son did not die before the father, and there it's obvious the osel de ben, it becomes the son's, and since he already had this prior commitment to the lekeach, it goes to the lekeach. Or even, says Rish Lakish, where even though the son died before the father, where it never became the son's, because by the time the father died and it should have come to the son was no longer here, still kind of lekeach. Why? Because obviously, Rish Lakish is of the opinion, says the Gemara, Almakasavar, Kinyan Peris, Lafka Kinyan Aguftami, even though the father retains ownership in this property, that he has a king in Paris, that doesn't make him the true owner. The kikazovin, and therefore the son who owns the property, there's just the king in Paris of the father there, is still the true owner, and therefore his sale is a valid sale, and makes no difference if he dies before or after the father. Just to talk for a moment about this concept of the king in Paris, is king in aguf or not. Rav Shimon Shkop in the Shaar Yosher says as follows. Everybody agrees, all the achronim want to sort of limit this machlokes. And everybody agrees that a kinyan peiros and a kinyan aguf are valid kinyonim. Rav Shimon says, let's say there'll be a situation where there's only a kinyan peiros, and there's no one has a kinyan aguf in this property. Again, I'm not sure if you could come up with such a scenario. But if you could come up with such a scenario, Rish Lakish would agree that kinyan peiros has validity. It's only a question of perspective. We have two individuals. One owns the actual property, and one owns the peiros. And the machlokes, says Rav Shimon Shkop, between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, is who is considered the primary owner. The one with the peiros, the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan, or the one that with the guf, the opinion of Rish Lakish. Furthermore, Rav Moshe says, even if we'll follow the opinion of Moshe Feinstein, that even if we follow the opinion of Rish Lakish, that Kinyan Peiros Lafka Kinyan Aguf, that doesn't mean that Rish Lakish gives no validity to the Kinyan Peiros. Ramesha says, for example, let's say you have a situation where there's an individual that has a Kinyan Peiros in a property. And it's not as extraordinary as it sounds. Because a lot of properties are sold not forever, they're sold for 99 years. Somebody buys a condominium for 99 years, and he passes away, and there's still 50 years left on the ownership. It's really only a kinyan peiros, because a kinyan aguf, it means that he has it forever. He doesn't have it forever. And we know the halach is that a bechor gets a double chalik. Will the bechor get a double chalik in this condominium? Rav Moshe says, absolutely. Because it's not that Rish Lakish says that kinyan peiros is meaningless. Or Rav Moshe says another example. The halach is that you're not allowed to sell property in Eretz Yisrael to a goy. So are you allowed to sell property to a goy just with a kinyan peiros, not with a kinyan aguf? Avada nisht. Avada you're not allowed to. Rish Lakish says kinyan peiros lafka kinyan aguf. All Rish Lakish means, and Rav Moshe and Rav Shimon are on the same wavelength, all Rish Lakish means is that the kinyan aguf is considered stronger than the kinyan peiros. But not that the kinyan peiros is meaningless. And therefore, certainly, if there's a halacha, you're not allowed to sell property and that's a straw to a goy, it would even be with even if you're just doing it with a kinyan peiros. Now the Gemara comes back full circle to our sugya. Vanan hashta. Bein Rabbi Yemir ba'aba, or Bein Rabbi Yehuda, both of them Kish Lakish Tirlei. They all agreed to Resh Lakish. The Kamer Rabbi Yehme Ba'aba. Isal Kedatach. If we're going to hold that Kinyan Peiris Ki Kinyan Aguftami. So in a case, Kimayis Av, if the father dies, or Mayis Ben B'chayiv Av, and then the son predeceases his father, Amayis L'Lokayach, why will the L'Lokayach receive it? Kiyasa, Kikazovin, he didn't have any right. He only had a Kinyan Peiris. Have Laila Dei Kazovin. Alav Shmamina. It must be that we hold the Kinyan Peiris Lavka Kinyan Aguftami. And therefore, even though the father, in our case, where this woman's husband has a Kinyan Peiris, but since she had written over the property to her son, so he had the Kinyan Aguf, and we followed opinion of Resh Lakish that he is considered the true owner. Therefore, that document that she wrote over the property to him is very valid. Ahadrula Kameda Rehuda. So now they brought it back to Rehuda. Rehuda said that the document that she wrote was invalid, but based on this long raya, if we followed opinion of Resh Lakish, it was a good document. Amalei, Hocha Mishmul, Zuayna Doimel Mishnei Sein. So Rehuda made a statement. You're bringing this Mishnah and saying that the Mishnah should be a raya to the validity of that document written by the woman, the Mishnah is not a raya. He didn't explain what he meant. My Tama. What does he mean? Am Rav Yosef. So says Rav Yosef. Bishlam etana ipcha. If we had spoken about a case of Harei Hakoyis from the Chos of Oviv, where somebody wrote a document that his property should go to his father, Ikla Mifshep Inei, then we would have a clear indication that Kinyan Peiris Lavka Kinyan Aguftami. And if the Mishnah would tell us that somebody writes a document that his property should become his father's now, but he should retain Peiris until he passes away, and then the Mishnah would say that the father is selling it to the Lokeach, that it's considered a valid sale, that would be a great raya. But that's not the case of the Mishnah, says the Gemara. Al-Hash to the Ketani, what is the case that the Mishnah discusses? It says, Hakoisiv Nechosiv L'Bnoi. So says the Gemara, you know why it's different? Because whom did he write the property to? He wrote it to his son. His son already has rights in this property. This is what the Rishonim explained to Gemara. Why? Because the son would have yashin it anyway. So if the father felt the need to not just rely on Hilchas Yerusha, but to actually write this document to the son, he was trying to strengthen his position. And since he was trying to strengthen his position, therefore, here the halacha will be that if the son sells the property, it's a valid sale. Mishum deroy liyoshi. But in another situation, it wouldn't necessarily be the din that way. Amalei Abaya says Abaya. What are you saying is the uniqueness of that Mishnah? Because the father wrote the document to the son, and the son already has rights in the field, because the son's a Yorish. Ask the Gemara, Ot the Bro Yaris Abba, is only a son a potential Yorish of a father? Abba La Yaris Brei, is a father not a potential Yorish of a son? Of course he is. Because let's say Rachmanu Litzlon, somebody passes away without any children, who is his Yorish? His father. Ella, lefchrunen lenichsim ebreikasi. Why was his goal? He wasn't trying to look at his son as a Yorish. As I said earlier, he wanted that this son should get the property and not share it with anyone else. When he wrote the property to his father, he didn't want anybody else to get it. So that is not a good way of explaining why this is not similar to the case of his wife. It means because there's a special rule that was enacted in Usha. Usha is one of the places that the Sanhedrin went to Golus. If a woman sells off property of the Nichsim Melug that she brings into the marriage, and then she passes away, Habal Moitzim Yad L'Kuchas. Chazal wanted to strengthen a husband's position in his wife's Nichsim Melug to teach us that if she tries to do any manipulation, that the property should go to someone else, it's not a valid manipulation. So the Mefarshim asked, the Rishonim asked, that's only required if we say Kinyan Peiris is Lafki Kinyan Aguf. But we hold the Kinyan, if we hold the Kinyan Peiris Kinyan Aguf, so we don't need the Takana Susha. because the husband has the peiros. So obviously he can't sell. So the Rashi in fact says that the karas usha was only said for the people that hold like Rish Lakish. The whole kinyan peiros lafka kinyan agof. But if you hold like Rabbi Yochanan, you don't need usha. Others say we still need it. For two examples, I saw the Rishonim give. One example is, let's say a husband writes dinu dvarim ainli bin chasayich. Husband could say, I'm excluding myself from it. Even though he's excluding himself from all of his wife's properties, the takaras of usha will still be applicable. Or it's coming to teach us a gvaldig halacha. The takaras usha, again, as I said a moment ago, is strengthening the husband's position. What do I mean when I say the strengthening the husband's position? It means the following. What would be the din if somebody did this? Wrote the property over to someone, and then that person went and sold it to a keach. He shouldn't have. And then the person dies, and someone else gets the property. The lokeach never gets his hands on it. Let's talk about our case. The wife wrote the property to her son, and was saying that the son, she had no right to do it. So we would assume that at least the money she collected from the lokeach, the husband should have to reimburse him. Teaches us that the takanas usha, that not only is the sale invalid, but even the money that she received, the husband doesn't have to reimburse, and he just gets the property when she dies.